What is good, everyone, and welcome back to the Nostalgia for Social podcast. My name is Taylor, aka Nostalgia. Joining me is As Told by Zoe. What's good, my guy?
Yo.
Also joining me is K Likes Everything. What's good, dog?
Hello, everyone. It's good. I lost my voice. I don't mean to sound this way.
Yeah, you're bringing us the ASMR Quiet Storm radio voice. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Shit.
Oh, okay, he's just big and strong and has a lot of yelling to do.
I'm on some.
Oh my god! The sword.
It looks like the kid
shit today.
It looks like the guy who's like, "I have the power of God and anime on my side."
Oh, bro. Okay, so as you can see, I'm back on the podcast.
Thank God.
This episode. Before we even get into what we were talking about today, I think I thoroughly enjoyed editing just the Kayla and Zoe pod episode. I think that was very funny. I think it was weird, like, editing somebody else's, like, it felt like I was editing somebody else's podcast and, like, listening to the stuff in, like, real time, and some of the jokes. It was pretty, because, like, you know, you record for, like, an hour and you kind of already know in your mind, like, what's already been said. But I was driving back from, like, my from my work, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I wonder, like, what the conversation is gonna be about, and then and like, what's gonna turn into. And it turned into something really, really funny. And for the viewers and listeners, you know, it's interesting what kind of conversations will come about when you don't have a moderator in the room.
I tried to make a moderator my bucket.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. I thought that was a really good idea.
I just needed a buffer.
My foot in her ass.
You know, it's so funny because, like, I feel like people really resonate with Andre being pissed. So it, like, yes, we yelled at each other a lot, which was very fun. But it also just got to a point where I was like, hey, I see your side, but I'm right.
And I think that
I think that our listeners really vibed with that. Maybe, I don't know. I could be delusional. Everyone could probably hate my opinion, but as long as they're listening and having a good time, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, what's so funny is, like, the clip that I posted of y'all two's argument about Venom. I put the chapter or whatever, like, the comic book panels in, like, during, like, the segment.
Yeah. Yes.
And there were people that still in some comments were like, that's not true. That no, they weren't. And I was like, hey, brother, the proof is right there.
Exactly. Listen. Exactly. There was someone who had even said, like, oh, I think with those panels, like, she's got a point. You got me there. And I was like, yeah, thank you.
Listen, I still stand on my point.
Yeah.
But I don't claim none of these comments that are like, why is everyone like this nowadays? Hey, eat a dick, cry. I'm buying Ghost of Yote. Go watch Love Lies Bleeding. Go watch Queer. Fuck you guys.
Aw, yeah.
Fair
Thank
enough.
You. Fair, fair, fair.
All right, today, my moderator skills are coming into play now. We're back on regular. Welcome back, yeah. Today, we are talking about POC characters in fiction. It could be anime, video games, other fiction. I think Kayla probably has a different view or different list than probably me and Zoe do. But one thing I wanted to kind of touch on before we got into our list of whatever is, like, the topic of representation and, like, seeing yourself on screen as three people of color in the spaces and genres that we enjoy. I think for me personally, and I don't know about the two of you, I think that as far as, like, the medium that I consume the most would probably be, like, more anime related mediums and genres. And as far as, like, the representation aspect of them goes, it is not something that I am, like, actively seeking to look for, just because of the nature of just how Japan operates. However, my stance is that if you're going to include characters of color in your story, they have to be either accurate or have some sort of like, they're not disrespectful to the people you're trying to portray.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that that's kind of the biggest thing for me where, yeah, it's cool to see a black person in, or a darker skinned person in anime or in manga that looks cool, that has a great design and stuff like that. And that's all awesome. But it's not like it's something that I'm like actively looking for. However, if you're going to put, and again, rest in peace to Akira Toriyama, the something like that, where like you put dark skinned characters in the world that you're trying to build, at least give them accurate or non stereotypical traits and physical features.
Yeah,
for sure.
So yeah, that's just, that's my kind of stance on it. I don't know.
I feel like he got better towards the end.
He did, but Mr. Black and Mr. Popo are fucking egregious. Like, it's just be honest.
Mr. Popo is really fucking bad.
What anime are we talking about?
Dragon Ball Z.
Oh.
I remember in the manga, I think Trunks and Goten. I don't follow the manga. Don't crucify me. When Trunks and Goten go to school, there's like a few. There's a black guy and like a Morenita character, and they look,
yeah,
they look good,
and they look good, they look good.
Yeah.
For Kayla, yeah, we're talking about Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
In the early days of that show, there were two characters that one of them wasn't necessarily supposed to be depicted as a black person, and the other one was. Mr. Popo is not necessarily supposed to be depicted as a black person, but he has like literal black skin, like the super like Sambo lips,
yeah,
and like the big big features.
I know this character.
And then,
that's bad.
They had a Secret Service agent who was black named Mr. Black, who also has a bald head with the Sambo lips, and like just kind of like it just does not look great. That's why honestly a character on my list of my favorite POC characters is on there because of that. So,
oh god,
you'll figure out. I mean, y'all, when I say it, y'all instantly know what I mean. But
yeah,
but yeah, like that's if you're gonna put black characters in a story in anime, you got like just don't make like that's just really bad. Like the lips and the nose and all that kind of stuff. Like I just.
Yeah.
Once I see it, I'm automatically like, yeah, I don't know what to do about this right here. Like, it's kind of tough to look at.
Yeah. And so, like you were saying, I don't really look for Hispanic characters. And typically it's because I'm very used to, like, whenever, like, Disney, for example, makes a Hispanic character, it's either, and this is, like, general, they're either from Spain or they're from Mexico. And that's typically like all that we get, right? So it's like all of the very like traditional Spaniard or Mexican traditions and things like that. And I didn't see either my Cuban side or my Colombian side represented. And that's fine. I'm like, hey, as long as somebody's getting represented, I'm having a good time if they're being represented accurately. But that's why like I geeked out when Encanto came out, because I was like, oh my gosh, like hearing the accordion everywhere and our traditional music and just like seeing the colors and things that I remember from when I, you know, visited Colombia, that brought me immense joy. So it was great to see it, but I don't look for it because I know like number one, being Hispanic or Latino, there's so many of us and a lot of our cultures share things, right? Like a lot of us share like Noche Buena, like a lot of us do that. It's not specific to one culture. But for like little specific things, like if they're talking about like Carnaval or they're talking about a very Colombian thing about putting cheese in your hot chocolate and eating that, like seeing things like that makes me happy.
Huh? Wait, sorry, time out. Oh. I'm just not to be like
it's like delicious.
Insensitive. Cheese in hot chocolate.
Yeah. So there's a type of Colombian cheese. I don't remember the name right now, but it gets really melty and you can either put it in your coffee or your hot chocolate and then you get your, you know,
it's pretty good.
You get your bung and you dip it in there and it just like it tastes so comforting. Cheese and chocolate are just good. So like, it's a great time. So when you see that represented in media, you're like, ah, that's, those are my people. But it's not like I'm saying like everyone should be doing more representation of every single culture. I'm just like, it'd be nice if you did, because it's so nice to see yourself in a character. And the same way, even outside of any Latin, any BIPOC, I also just like seeing body representation. Like when I see just like curvier characters being made, that also brings me immense joy. I don't look for it, but when it exists, I'm like, oh, wow, she's just like me for real.
Yeah. So I, as far as like the representation stuff goes, like what are your thoughts?
Same thing. I've never really looked for it as a very much white passing male. I get sunburned if I'm in the sun for 10 minutes.
Yeah. He's a little tomato,
but, I'll never forget. I always bring this up. And he's one of my characters on the list, but I'll just bring up the story anyway. When I was in middle school and my mom is driving me to school and she would listen to Elvis Duran in the morning, every morning.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about a new Spider-Man. They were talking about a Hispanic Spider-Man. And as a little kid, I thought that's the coolest fucking thing ever. And he's Puerto Rican. Miles Morales is Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
I'm Cuban Nicaraguan. But still, as a little kid, I was like, that's awesome. That's so fucking cool. He's like me. I was like 10, maybe.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, he's like me.
Yeah.
And I think it's not. This one's not on my list, but I also really like this story. The actor Diego Luna, he plays Cassian Andor in Rogue One, Star Wars.
Yes.
He talked about a conversation he had with his dad, where his dad was super proud that he was the good guy, and his dad was like, "We never get casted as the good guys."
Oh, my heart.
That's an interesting point, actually. Because, like, you know, you think about, I think about, like, what was it? Like, every time you go to, what was that meme? It was like Mexico, and it's like a regular picture of Mexico, and it says Mexico movies, and it's this dumbass, like, yellow orange tint. And I'm like, my God.
Every time. And it's crazy how that influences people. Okay, side story real quick, because some people just are crazy and you have to look at them and take what they say with a grain of salt. So there was one time that my family and I had gone to Disney and we were staying at the Wilderness Lodge and we were just heading over to Magic Kingdom and we were taking the bus. And there was this group sitting across from us in the bus and they were very loudly talking about how they had just been in Cuba and how magical it was. And one of them went, I don't know what Cubans are always complaining about. It's so amazing over there. And my brother and I just like looked at each other and we were like, we're not about to engage in a fight on a family vacation. But that's the wildest sentence I've ever heard, right in front of me about my people. And I'm like, are you dumb? Like, do you think that, like, the beaches and, like, the commercial areas are what Cuba is? I almost jumped out of my seat, but I mean, Sam was like,
that's the only
no.
thing they, that's the only thing they see.
Of course, that's the only thing they see, but, like, read a book. I don't even want you to read. I just want you to YouTube it. Have someone read it for you. Porque no puede ser. It cannot be. It cannot be that someone was so ignorant. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But to Andre's point, I think the three of us, our consensus is it's nice to see ourselves in characters. But when it really means something is like it's when it's for little kids. right? Like when a child sees themselves represented. And that's what we always transport to, right? Like when we see those people, we're like, oh man, I wish I'd had that when I was little. I remember when the Wakanda movies had come out, the Black Panther movies.
Yes.
I was working at the Disney store at the time. Let me tell you something. There was this one little boy who had come in and his mom was like, okay, we're going to go trick-or-treating, so let's get a costume. And he picked up the costume of Black Panther himself and came up to the register. And he was so little that he had to like kind of like throw it onto the register. And when you work at, you know, for Disney or for the Disney store back in the day, you have to be like very magical. And I was like, hey, superhero, are you excited? And he goes, I get to be somebody that looks like me. And I literally had to do one of these where I turned around and I was like, ah! And then I came back and I was like, that's so cool. And that happened all the time when that movie came out. It was so powerful. Yeah. So this is going to be a great day, and I'm not going to cry. So that is, that's, I keep like fiddling with like my pen and paper and I'm like, I'm very strong.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's that kind of like, you know, the cliche, like, oh, if that person can do it, then I can do it as well. Or like you see something that kind of like motivates you to want to do something, you know what I'm saying, in the future or whatever. And so I think that, I mean, the Black Panther movies are a good like example of that specifically. Yeah. And also, too, funny enough for me as a kid that watched too much adult media as a youth, watching Wesley Snipes' Blade was the fucking coolest thing in the world to me. I was like, he's black and he's killing vampires with swords? That's fucking awesome. Like,
and he looks amazing doing it.
He looks awesome. Like, he looks so clean doing it, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just like kind of that sentiment where as adults, we're like, yeah, it's cool to see a black person or a Hispanic person or whatever in the medium that I enjoy. But as a kid, it hits a lot differently because like, that's more of a role model in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. That you could be more, that you could do more.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So let's get into, our lists. We could just kind of, I know I have like a top five that I want to kind of go into. We could like, each count off like R5, R4, R3, R2, R1. Way we can kind of, or we can, you know, we can go all five. It doesn't matter. We can, whatever you guys want to do. We can just trying to figure out what the time frame looks like as far as.
I don't have an order, but I'm just, you guys can have it in order. And much like my brain, I'll say it out of order.
I have.
Because there really is no order.
I have eight characters.
You have eight characters?
I have seven.
All right, that's fine. I'll start with mine then, okay? And most of mine – so what's so funny is when I was writing my list, because, like, I just – this is just how my mind works. Like, when I have to talk about stuff like this, like, even when we do, like, our themed episodes with me and Zoe, I literally had to, like, sit down and create lists and create notes because, like, I would just lose my train of thought and just ramble. And I hate doing that. So
that's the whole thing.
I wrote – I guess it's just – you know, that's why this podcast is awesome, because we have all of that together.
We have ADHD. We've got it all.
We got type A. We got. I put top five POC in parentheses, all caps, black anime characters. And some of them have some overlap as far as like not necessarily being black, but just ones that are darker skinned. And my number coming at number five are two people. It's Atsuko and Michiko from Michiko and Hachi. That show in general is one of my favorite shows that I've seen in recent years. It's from the same person that did Cowboy Bebop, Shinichiro Watanabe, amazing director. You know what I'm saying? He's just phenomenal in being able to wait, like in his way of telling stories. And so these two specific characters, Atsuko and Michiko, are from a fictional city in Brazil. So they're Afro-Latino. Mm-hmm. And one thing I like about them is like their dynamic is really cool. And like the show itself does a really good job of like showing that the Afro-Latino like culture in a lot of ways, and how like it's intertwined with just the overall culture of like Latin America and South America specifically. And so Atsuko is a cop that turns vigilante. She has the very 70s Afro piercings. Like she's, according to like research done on the show, her character model was supposed to be based after Foxy Brown, which I think is a really good testament to her. And like it shows just how much care and detail went into the show and making the characters like lively. She's a super like headstrong woman, super badass. Like she's just like a really cool character. And then Michiko is one of the main characters of the show. She's Afro-Latino as well. She's based after the R&B singer Aaliyah. Actually, that's her character model is designed after that. Aaliyah. She's like, I think what I loved about her character specifically is she just doesn't give a fuck about anything. And she's very like forward and honest. But as the show goes on, you can see the layers start to break. And she's actually a lot softer and a lot more gentle than her outward appearance. And I think that's a testament to, and I think a lot of like Black women in general could probably relate in a lot of ways too, because of just how they're like perceived in society and stuff like that. So like they put on this like very tough front, but those layers can break down. They're like more vulnerable, a lot more gentle. So I think that was a cool thing to watch over the course of my time with that show. It's only like 24 episodes. It's a short watch. So
yeah,
if you haven't watched that show, please do. That shit's awesome. So that's one of mine. So y'all,
I got to give that a watch. Although something that you said, obviously I cannot speak for Black women because I am not a Black woman, but I know that one of the unfair stereotypes is that they're angry when really every Black woman I've ever met, extremely soft, like extremely loving, nurturing. One of the things as a Hispanic woman is that when I get a little loud, which is often, not today, but often, just because I'm deaf, I have been called spicy by so many white men. It's crazy. Especially like my old job, they'd be like, oh, you're so spicy. And I'm like, I am going to shove this spice up your nostrils and make you drag down to the floor, which doesn't help the spicy allegations. But it's like, I'm telling you, like over Zoom to someone I'd never met who lives in Denver would be like, whoa, you're getting spicy. And I'm like, that's crazy.
That's just a microaggression. That's such a microaggression.
It's so, and it's literally just me like sharing an opinion for something for work. Like it's not even like, like it's just one of those things where it's like, there's like a layer of it obviously being a microaggression towards your race, and then it's also towards your gender, because would a man ever call a Hispanic man spicy? I don't think so. Solidarity to literally every minority and just women in general. I'm with y'all. Anyway, we can continue. But yeah, love that for that character.
Yeah, they're both awesome.
I'm gonna have to give it a watch.
Zoe, Kayla, which one do you want to go next?
I'll go. Okay. Again, no particular order, but the first one I thought of, Seuss from Gravity Falls.
Oh, my baby.
It's just because you meet him and he's like this random goofy character, and then you don't really think twice about him. You're like, oh, Seuss, that's like a funny name. And as the show goes on, you realize his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives with his abuelita. And I don't know. It was just like a cool little thing. And I wasn't even a kid. I was older. But I was like, oh, he's Hispanic. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was like comedic relief, I guess. But the whole show is comedic. And he has his moments, you know? He has his little heroic moments here and there. And he's a very... He's like a big brother figure to the the twins. And he, like, really wants to protect them. And then he has... There's his episode of with his birthday that fucking kills me.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just... what the first thing I think of when we think of, like, POC characters is Seuss. I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely a fan favorite of mine too. I think that I kind of had that same realization that kind of made me like him more, because he was like when at the end of season one where they have to go live at his grandma's house. I was like, oh, he's Hispanic. I mean, I didn't even put together that his name was actually Jesus. I didn't think. Yeah. I just thought it was Seuss.
Like, that's the world's most perfect man.
I would love to say that's like one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
He's such a good representation of just like a loving, like that's a tío. That's everybody's, like that's the one they're gonna call when they need somebody. Mm-hmm. I love that. So my first person was someone who I had a crush on in my early days of cartooning, and that would be Static Shock. I loved him so much. He was just really cool. I liked that he was just a cool superhero. I liked that he would use his electricity to like always pick up the sewer drains and like ride on them, because I'm like, okay, he can't fly, but he can fly in his own way. And his hair was cool. He's just good looking. I think that I just think he gets a point for being hot and being fun. And when I think of like cool BIPOC characters, I'm like, yeah, Static Shock he's always rummaging around in there.
No, for sure. For sure. He was definitely one of the, like, again, I watched too much adult media as a child. So
yeah.
Blade was definitely on the high end of like black characters that I saw in whatever that I thought were cool.
Yeah.
Static Shock was also like a very close second too, because it was a situation where I think, because it was airing at the same time as Fillmore. Do y'all remember that show?
Yeah.
Like no. It was
the chick.
I think it was Fillmore. Yeah. Where he's like this bald middle schooler was like a hall monitor.
It
was on Disney.
Oh my god, yes, I do remember this. Oh my god, yeah, I wasn't super into this one, probably because
that was funny.
He wasn't hot.
that's horrible to say.
I mean, it was
but a hall both monitor. Shows,
yeah, both those shows were like airing roughly around the same time, and I remember watching them and being like, this is really cool, actually. Like, I remember like the same thing you said, when he uses his electricity powers to pull up the sewage drain for the first time and ride it like a skateboard, I was like, oh, he's my favorite character ever.
Yes.
He's my favorite character of all time.
Yeah. Skateboarding was also like just considered so cool in the early 2000s. Like everybody, like Tony Hawk had his grip on the media.
Oh,
and
for sure.
Everything was, if you could skateboard, you were cool.
Yeah, and I also like how they tackled racism in that show.
Yeah.
Like pretty
with his
like,
friend.
With his friend, but also they very much like were kind of showing, I mean, obviously it wasn't as heavily talked about now as it was now, I guess, but like being black in a more white-ish society.
Yep.
I think that was a cool kind of way of going about it, with having superpowers and having to show restraint when people are being racist to you, you know? So I thought that was an interesting kind of take for a topic that wasn't really that much of a hot button issue at that period of time.
Yeah.
Voiced by animation voice actor legend Phil Lamar.
Yep.
Who was also John Stewart, Green Lantern.
He's on my list.
Samurai Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Hermes from Futurama. Phil Lamar is one of my favorite voice actors. I love
him. He's great.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. Great. All right. Coming in at number four, I guess, for me is Piccolo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The green alien.
Yes.
But he is black. That's a black man.
That's a black man.
Absolutely.
That is a black man.
There's no question.
There's no debate.
No, that's precisely. Yes.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me that he is not a nigger. You can't tell me. You cannot watch. We are not watching the same show if you don't agree.
I don't even watch the show, and I agree with you. I would never fight you on that topic at all, actually.
I think for me, it was a big part of why I take the stance is, one, a little bit for the bit, and two, because of the Mr. Popo and Mr. Black, like two characters that were supposed to be black portrayals that weren't really well depicted in that show.
Mm-hmm.
But also just like just the way Piccolo kind of carried himself, it reminded me a lot of just like some of the older black men that I grew up around. Just like a very like stoic figure, kind of about his business.
Yeah.
And then like outside of that, like you, the Namekian like way of life and culture, like you can kind of see it. Like you can kind of see some kind of parallels there to just minority groups in general and how they were. It's the same thing with the Saiyans too, but like just kind of how they kind of go about their business and like their place in the universe within that world of Dragon Ball Z. And so you kind of can latch on to that. To help my point a little bit further, his dress, like the little shoulder pads with the head wrap, he's supposed to be, it's rumored that he's depicted after African Moors.
Ooh.
Like that's his style. Like that's like what his design is based off of. That's a rumor. I don't know. Like, all the Toriyama's like confirmed that, but it's a rumor that they're dressed like African Moors. And yeah, like also even outside of his like usual Namekian attire, like that man's got fucking drip, dog. He be putting that shit the fuck on. Like that's like backwards cap, deep line t-shirt, you know what I'm saying, with the pet, bro. You come
love
on.
That.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It is funny that okay, so a lot of times in media where there's like one white person, but everyone else is kind of like an animal, or their skin is like purple and red or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone who is a minority will go, that person, that's Hispanic, and no one can tell me any different. It's like the thing with Sonic, right? Like,
yes.
Knuckles is black.
Yes.
But here's the thing. He was based off of Rastafarian colors. He is black.
He is black. And I get it. I get he's a red hedgehog. Or he's an echidna.
Echidna.
He's an echidna. First of all, I used to think that Knuckles was a girl because I thought he was pretty with his long hair, but that's a different story. Like you will see in media that you'll be like, yeah, that's I'm gonna claim that for my people. Like I believe that Kuzan from One Piece, that's a Puerto Rican uncle. That's Theo. And
really?
No one can tell me any different. Who's on is Puerto Rican. He's Puerto Rican.
I'll get back to him, but also he is on my list too. I think 100%. He's Afro-Latino. I think he's Afro-Latino.
Y así es. Guess how many Afro-Latinos are Puerto Rican? Literally, like me and Sam were like, that's Unk, right? Right?
That's Unk.
every time I see him, I'm like, I'm going to go to his house for lechon. Like, I know I am. It's funny how you'll like we'll just see people and go, I don't care that they're green. That's a black man and don't tell me any different.
That is a black man.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many of these characters give off uncle, because Piccolo is Unk.
He was a father for a whole three arcs.
Yeah,
there
I know.
You go.
He's the dad that stepped
Ooh.
Up.
And it's giving nurturing, it's giving caring, it's giving things that people don't typically associate, which is wrong of them to do. But look how loving they are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Crazy.
Oh, boy. What's next up?
Yeah.
Should I? No, I'll save this character.
Ooh.
That character will go in a villain direction. I just really like him.
Oh, I don't have any villains.
But the second character on my list is Will from Baldur's Gate 3. He is one of the party members that you meet along the way. He is a black warlock.
Mm.
His father is the ruler of Baldur's Gate, and he himself was a soldier.
Ooh.
And he saved the city, but to save the city, he had to make a deal if I remember correctly, Minthara. She's a demon. Mm-hmm. So she takes his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a warlock and he's trying to get back. So you meet him on your quest and you try to help him out. And if you know anything about D&D, warlock, bard, multi-class, OP. So he's
crazy.
One of my most used characters in the game. And he's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Because if you turn him into a bard, well, bards and warlocks, they use their charisma for everything.
Right. I was about to say, like, where is the seducing happening?
So he's very charismatic.
Yeah. There's a photo in here that he's smirking at the camera, and I was like,
He's super smooth. I used him to talk a boss into killing himself. I did not have to fight him because of Will. And that's my fucking boy.
Wow. The Will of D.
That's awesome.
He's awesome. I love him.
That's cool. Yeah, I just looked him up. He looks fire. He looks pretty cool.
And it's interesting to me. I'm not black, but I've had this conversation with you, actually, Taylor, where there was a lot of media coming out about black trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where you told me, you were like, why can't we be a wizards or something?
That's what I said.
So then Baldur's Gate 3 comes out, and I'm like, this guy's a fucking wizard.
He's a fucking wizard, yeah.
Yeah, let's celebrate black joy.
Yeah, man. I think that was, I can't remember what it was. It was, well, I know what it was. It was 2020. Yeah. It was just like, just that kind of, like, I guess, process of like going, seeing all that stuff you see on mm-hmm. videos and other stuff like that. And you're kind of, and like just the stuff that was happening. And then everybody was like, let's make a movie about black people. Oh, are they like, you know, are they fictional characters? Are they in some kind of crazy world? Are they doing something cool? It's like, no, they're actually getting attacked by police. It's like, okay. I got a show coming out. I think you really like it. It's got some black people in it. Oh, yeah, cool. What is, are they solving mysteries? Are they doing? No, they are. It's a documentary about the Central Park Five, bro.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, come on. Now, granted, that documentary was probably, or that show or biopic, or whatever, was probably needed to come out regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But I told Zoe, I was like, bro, like, can we just be wizards like one time, like just and then. Oh man, I know this episode might be long just because I keep going on these tangents, but the Secret Society of Magical Negroes pissed me off to no end. Have y'all
never
heard?
Saw it.
Don't.
I saw the commercial and it looked cool, but I never watched it.
Kayla,
I don't watch movies.
My God. So you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, I also, when the trailer came out, I was like, wow, this is bad.
Everybody that was black at one point saw the trailer or saw, didn't even see the trailer yet. Okay. Saw the title and go, this is it. We get our black wizards show or movie. We get our medium where we're just doing cool shit.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be funny hee hee ha ha.
No, it was before I preface the movie, because like the phrase magical Negroes is a literary term. Mm-hmm. That has something to do with, that does not have anything to do with like wizardry or magic or anything. the
to put it into perspective, Song of the South, Uncle Remus.
No.
So the Magical Negro is a literary figure where it's a character that is black or you like that has either a black man that mostly like a southern black man or like a blue collar worker, like a maid, like The Help, like that movie The Help, where when a white character is going through some type of internal turmoil or like going through some kind of life crisis, turn to this very charismatic black man that just kind of seems like he's a little too in touch with God. You know what I'm saying? He looks a little too like the light just kind of shines on him a little bit differently and like things are kind of interacting. He just seems super mysterious and like whimsical. That's what the Magical Negro literary term is. So when that movie came out and you saw the trailer, it's actually a movie about like a secret society of black people that whose sole job is to be the Magical Negro to white people. Yes. You see how stupid that sounds?
That's crazy. That's actually stacked, insane.
It's stacked upon when they recruit Justice Smith's character, they're like, we have to do this because if not, white people are going to kill us. And it's like, okay, that's morbid. And then
insane.
That's extremely morbid.
Then stacked upon that is he falls for a white girl. So it's like, I have to go.
You're breaking the rules.
I have to go against the society. And it's like, it was just a lot of shit that just.
And it's just using that perpetual idea that black people are supposed to teach white people about why they should be treated like people. And that's not their job, because that's okay. My back is hot. I get a headache.
Yeah, it was weird. It didn't hit any demographic at all.
No, it flopped. That's wild. As it should. I'm gonna take the hardest turn away from that.
Sure.
And talk about my next favorite. It's not one person, it's a group, it's a whole show. Craig of the Creek.
Yes.
Craig of the Creek as a whole is, first of all, representation for so many people, but also just constantly a story of joy and understanding and getting to know different types of people and saying, hey, that may not be what I'm into, but we all fit at the Creek.
Mm-hmm.
There have been so many times where I've had to pause that show and go, wow, where was this media when I was a kid? I'm so glad this media is out for children now. If I ever have a child, it's on rotation right next to Bear in the Big Blue House.
Mm-hmm.
So calming, so beautiful. What a lovely piece of media. Craig's family is phenomenal. They're all so well-rounded and fun and all get their own like moments in the sun. The supporting cast is great.
I can't talk enough about that show. MLK, I think. I think that's like canon.
I think that is canon. Uh-huh. I think that it's canon. But yeah, it's a phenomenal show. If you guys have not watched it, not you guys, but the listener, you guys, put it on today. It's on HBO.
It's also really funny.
It's really funny. It's so funny and so soft.
Boy!
No, dude, I'm going to say, they do such a great job of putting in very subtle jokes and nods to black culture that you wouldn't really get otherwise. Just like, where like that thing where like they start like, boy, they're roasting him, and he comes back and he's like on fire a little bit. Like he's like searing. I think they made like a lotion and being ashy joke one time. just small stuff like that where it's like, where you like just the things that you see in that show and the interactions they have with each other. You're like, if you are even like, if you're not black, it's like a funny joke. But if you are black, you're like, that's funny, and that's also happened to me. That's also happened to me.
It's so good. There was a one of the episodes that I really loved was when they were getting to know the sewer queen, because I just love the idea of like all these like kids who are obsessed with the pool being like, the river's taken, the creek is taken, so we're gonna go to the sewers and hang out there. And you find that the main girl, the sewer queen, is Filipino American, and Craig wanted to like get to know her, so he goes over her house. And the grandma, you learn about like what to call like a grandmother is it Filipino? You learn about like the food and the culture, and it's just really beautiful. Like, he always goes to different people's houses and learns different things. He goes over someone's house and they're deaf, and he learns some sign language, and they put actual sign language in the show. Like, they took the time to like learn it, and it's just, yeah, I can only sing praises about that show. And it's not, I don't think it airs anymore like on TV. I think it's only on streaming, which is extremely sad, but 10 out of 10 would recommend.
I don't think they did this on purpose.
I think it's Cartoon Network.
But because of the state of Twitter.
Oh.
Taylor, you might know where I'm going with this. Craig's older brother.
Yeah.
His girlfriend. His girlfriend's she's a bigger girl.
She's thickums, and I really appreciate that. Wait, I don't know if is she Hispanic or is she white?
I think she's white.
Okay.
She's a very cute character, but
she is.
People on Twitter don't take anything serious
at all.
So they posted like them together, and then like the picture of Zorro putting on the Jamaican
with the Jamaican flag.
It is. Fuck, it's so dumb.
That's crazy.
That's really funny.
My favorite meme.
That's crazy.
That might be top two memes of all time to me, because the jokes are never not funny. Like, it's always like, if there's some kind of thick white woman in any regard on Twitter, the entire comment section is going to have some fucking Jamaican flag apparel somewhere. That shit is so funny.
Crazy.
It's insane. Really, so coming in number three for me is a deep cut, and it is Killick Rung from Soul Eater. And people are thinking like, oh, I don't really remember him. That's because he was in all of 2 episodes.
Cool.
He's early on, isn't he?
He's in the fight with the spider guy in that like snowy area. Like, he only comes in on the back end of the show, like the middle point of the show, I think. He gets way more like screen time. I put that in air quotes, screen time. Yes. In the manga, he barely gets any kind of showing on in the anime, just because of the nature of how the anime ran post episode 12, because they diverted from the manga. But Killick is one, he's the third strongest at DWMA.
Yeah.
He has the coolest Meister weapons, are arguably better than Death the Kids. He also has the dual wield. He has 2 gauntlets, fire and thunder.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of weapon forms are really cool. Their designs are awesome.
Yep.
And he's just like, I don't know, he's just like a cool character. I think Taikubo. What is the guy's name that does Fire Force? What is his name?
I was literally about to say, Okubo. I was like, okay.
Okubo.
Yeah, I think they loved him so much, since it's the same artist. I think they loved Killick so much. They were like, let's just
make him again.
Fire Force. Let's make him again. Let's make him
Ogun. That's exactly where I was going too, because
exactly. And I'm like, yeah,
he was so cool, and just like his demeanor, like whenever he was like around the characters, super suave, just super like about his business, super awesome.
Yep.
And like his fighting style was so cool, like he was just throwing hands, like didn't care. Yep. He had cool, I mean, obviously the fire and thunder powers were like a part of it, but like he has 2 gauntlets and he's just throwing, like he's just throwing hands. And then they put him the same similar design into Fire Force with Ogun.
Yep.
And I think I love Fire Force's power system, by the way. I think it's one of my favorites.
Very fun.
Ogun's ability is gotta be top three coolest abilities in that show. Like, the fact that his physical abilities are times 10 because his tattoos light up.
I love when tattoos or markings and things activate powers. As someone with tattoos, I just think that's really cool. I have said this several times where, like, you know, everyone is always like, if you had a gum gum fruit, what would it be? Da, da, da. And I would want something that had to do, like, connecting my tattoos to, like, my power and my strength and stuff. And that, I agree. That's super cool. And people should do it more.
Yep.
We need a whole Fire Force episode.
Yeah.
We do, low key. I know.
Season 3 is coming out.
It is. And I'm not gonna spoil anything because the last arc is super cool. Because I was reading it after a while, because obviously, like, people were freaking out about the Soul Eater Moon showing up in the show.
I really appreciated it.
Obviously, because it's the same mangaka, whatever. And then, like, the last final, like, two arcs of the show are, like, bring everything together, and it's so cool.
I have to watch ready. Soul Eater.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
I've never seen it.
I'm sorry. Oh my God.
I saw Fire Force.
Oh my God.
Are you good?
How has he never seen?
Well, like, you know what's funny? When we started this podcast, like, Zoe was also not much of an anime watcher.
That's right. He wasn't, like, an anime person. The thing is that, like, so I own Soul Eater on DVD because I'm that old. And Soul Eater, when it came out, was so different, and it's so specific for the time that it came out. The art is so fun. It's so well done. You were the it kid if you had the merch of Soul Eater from Hot Topic. And I just feel like it, whenever I watch it, it just transports me to being a kid again and, like, drawing OCs of if I'm a weapon or weapon master and, like, who would I be paired up with and all that jazz. And so when people haven't seen Soul Eater, it kind of, like, breaks off a piece of my own soul, especially because, like, it's also, like, there's a lot of inspiration from Twin Peaks, which is really cool in the show. And I'm just like, there's so much love that could happen. And I'm just
inspired by Twin Peaks.
There's, like, as far as, like, there's a few things. Yeah.
The occultic aspect of it in some ways too.
I love Twin Peaks.
And guess what, brother? You should watch the show then.
I fucking love Twin Peaks. You don't understand.
Yeah. And there's just something about an anime being in 4:3 aspect ratio that I'm always going to love.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. It's so good. Okay, that's next. Cool.
Yeah. So that should be an episode. Sure. Soul Eater / Fire Force together.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll rewatch Fire Force, bro.
100%.
I want to see Benny Maru fuck shit up again.
You don't have to finish that sentence. Just the first part.
I knew exactly. As soon as he said Benny Maru, I looked right at you, Kayla. I knew exactly where that was going.
I didn't say shit.
Oh my God. All right.
I got pink. He's so hot.
Back. Hey.
Hey.
Back to the ranch. Who's next? Mm-hmm. Who's
me?
Because I had Killick. Yeah, Zoe's next.
Yeah.
So he's not third on my list, but I've skipped down because I don't know how many we're going to get through. Ganondorf. Ganondorf is from the Gerudo people. And the Gerudo are based off of the Middle East, like Arabic kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always live in the desert. He is a bad guy. He is not only a bad guy, he is the bad guy. He is literally.
He has a great nose, though.
He is literally evil incarnate. That's what he is. But his story is so cool. The Gerudo are a race of women. They don't birth men. They have to go find Hylians or not Na'vi. That's fucking Avatar.
Yeah, that's Avatar.
The fish people, the bird people.
Yeah, I know about. Yeah,
I love the fish people.
And they Man. Have to. They have to go out and mate. Like they have their own tradition where they have to. Like, hey, I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to find a partner. And it's the whole thing where they get sent off. And he is the first man to be born in thousands of years. Mm. Oops, evil.
And I think there's something to be said about that.
But he's so cool just all the time. He's so cool. Have you seen Tears of the Kingdom?
No, yeah. But I know where what he looks voiced, like, and he's just hot.
He's voiced by Matt Mercer.
And there it is.
And he's cool as fuck. And he's literally a demon. And that's cool as fuck sometimes.
Yeah.
I get it. For sure. We're talking about characters that make us feel represented and they're nice and Craig of the Creek is nice and Seuss and yeah. and Piccolo, they all stepped up, they're all nice. Sometimes being cool as fuck is cool as fuck.
Yeah, say it with your whole chest. I mean, I agree with you. I've never played any Legend of Zelda games. I enjoy the art. I enjoy watching people play. But I've always thought that Ganondorf is hot. He's just a big man. I'm a very simple girl.
The Gerudo, all of them have big noses. And you know what? Yes.
Exactly. It's hot on girls too. 100%. Love that.
They're all ripped, all of them. And they're all tall.
Dang. There was actually yesterday while I was getting my tattoo, this girl came up to the shop and she didn't come in when I was getting my tattoo. But I think in my head, at least compared to me, she was like 8 feet tall. And me and my tattoo artist both like looked at her and we were like, because we're both short. And I just looked over and I'm like, that's crazy. What must that be like? She's so beautiful. Tall people just like they just have this. They're like gazelles or giraffes. They're just like they just.
Yeah.
Not you.
No.
But yeah, it's yeah. Love that. Okay. I feel like we've mentioned a few people. Like we mentioned Jon Stewart, so I'm going to take him off my list. But I was obsessed with him. I was obsessed with his relationship with Hawkgirl from the Justice League.
Oh my god, that's
that. It's the most insane relationship of my young life. I just loved them, and I think that again his voice actor is phenomenal. When Ryan Reynolds was the when he was the other Green Lantern, I was like, get him off the stage.
Oh wait, Kayla,
put a black man on there, huh?
I don't know if you've seen. So they're doing a Green Lantern show.
They're doing a Jon Stewart.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They cast Jon Stewart already.
And who is he?
Is the dude from is it Rebels Ridge, as it was called?
Rebels Ridge. So look him up.
Okay.
Look up
he's
new Jon Stewart casting because I think Kayla will like him. I have reservations.
I have a reservation about it.
Okay, hold on.
He should be darker. I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Number one, he should be darker.
He's a good actor, but he should be darker.
There's one photo here of him that if I don't fix his facial hair, I'll scream. Because no, he has a really pretty smile. What a cutie patootie, surely. I need him to be darker.
Yeah, that's the only reservation I had. I think he'll do a great job. He's a great actor. Like he was awesome in Rebels Ridge.
Yeah, but he's pretty.
I just think that Jon Stewart needs to be a dark-skinned man. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I agree. Who would be your choice? Who would be your pick?
To be honest with you, it would have to be somebody that's like pretty new. What's dude's name from Moonlight? Do you remember that? Like, you know, hold on. What's his name? What is his name?
I don't know his. Trevante Rhodes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He'd be fire.
Yes.
Let me see. Hold up. How do you spell his name?
Trayvante. You could look up Moonlight.
Yeah. I found it. Oh, he would be so good. Also, he's so pretty.
Yeah.
That's the only person I could really see being Jon Stewart. In my mind.
I feel like he'd have to get smaller because in some of these photos, he's large, I feel.
Jon Stewart's a huge dude in some of the Justice League cartoons, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I think 10 years ago, I would have given it to Idris Elba.
I agree with you.
Idris Elba is just a little old now.
He is a little old.
It's my boy, though.
But he hasn't lost anything.
What's funny about Jon Stewart, though, is I thought he was the actual original Green Lantern. I was like, who the fuck is Hal Jordan?
Most people did.
Most people do, yeah.
Who the fuck is this guy? I was like,
he's the one that counts, for sure.
Listen, in Injustice 2, you know, you could make different skins for all your... Okay, Green Lantern is stuck on the Jon Stewart skin. I don't use Hal Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's absolutely so funny. That's so funny.
So we ran through him because we've spoken about him. Now we just spoke about him more. I want to talk about Luz from Owl House. Luz is, I actually don't know what type of Hispanic she is. Hold on. I can just double check that real quick in my notes. She's Afro-Dominican American. Woo! If you guys have never seen Owl House, which I know that Andre hasn't, and my brother has been trying to get him to watch it, and as have I, another show full of representation for a lot of people. And what I really love about it is a lot of the time in shows that showcase a Hispanic character, you will typically only get one or two words from them in Spanish, right? And that's, you know, it's still true here in Owl House. Like, she'll just say things like, te quiero mucho, mama. Like, she'll say, like, something, like, little and small. But it's really nice to see her and see her mom also as, like, a curvier Hispanic woman. And it's just great that she's, like, the main character of the show. And she's very proud of her heritage. And, it's a phenomenal show, especially if you love, like, D&D or if you love, like, wizarding worlds in general. It's just a great time. And it unfortunately got cut. It was supposed to be a longer show, but Disney cut the funding. But it's so good. And Ida the Owl Lady is perfect in every way and canonically was married to Stan from Gravity Falls, and they got divorced.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And you can see, I think in one of the extras, in one of the books, there's a photo of them together. And at the end of one of the Owl House episodes, you see that photo of them getting like married in Vegas. It's super cool. They're perfect for each other.
Oh my God.
They're not. They're too chaotic for each other, but it's very good.
Yeah. So I know we touched on Aokiji from One Piece. I obviously like him being, I think he's like Afro-Latino.
Yeah. We can share that. He's
his, I love his design and just his demeanor.
Yeah.
He's just super cool. He's super
chill.
He's super chill. I mean, no pun intended. He's just super chill.
Yeah.
He's
also just a kind, Marine. Like he's one of the most human Marines.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then doesn't he like, but he's like kind of like an anti-hero in a lot of ways too, where it's just like he's kind of acting in the vein of like the Marines, but at the same time he's like, a lot of what the Marines are doing is kind of fucked up, and I don't want to
be
a part of that. He does his own thing.
He helps Robin.
I'm not caught up with the anime, but there are some things where I'm like, I'm gonna watch it because fuck it, because it's so long. Have you seen him fight Garp?
Mm-hmm.
I watched the clip, yeah.
He's so cool.
Yeah.
And so is Garp.
Who is? Yes. Is he? No, yeah. He has to be Brazilian, right?
Technically. Because Luffy's technically Brazilian, right?
Yeah.
Garp nationality.
Anyway, they're cool as fuck, and Aokiji's cool as fuck.
Yes. Let's see. We got...
Yeah, Brazilian.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, Luffy should be on my list. Fuck.
Yeah, Luffy is Brazilian.
Yeah. But we got the best representation for Luffy ever in the live adaptation because perfect casting of Luffy I could not be more impressed with who they picked. I think he jumped out of the anime himself.
Yeah, he has the look down to down pat for sure. Same thing with Usopp too. I think Usopp's character, the guy that they had to play Usopp, he's a very good choice.
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
I don't like him.
He's too pretty.
He's so pretty. He's so pretty, and he's also weirdly. He gives sexual energy, which Usopp does not give. Usopp is a goof. Usopp is a goof. And the thing is, very specifically, not that Usopp can't be sexy, because let me tell you, after the time skip, I hate that he's lighter, but he's showing off the titties, he's giving what he's got to give for the girls. But what makes the main thing that I love about Usopp is Usopp. It's not the main thing I love about him, but it's one of the things I love about him is him and Nami's friendship. And Nami would not let that man get close to her with a 10-foot pole if he was a sexual being. She only allows people, she's strictly a platonic person. And Oda always puts them together in, when he does, the cover art, he always has them, as besties. There's one that was for an anniversary, and I've showed this to Andre, and it's one of my favorites. So they're all, wearing, really rich clothes. And Usopp is the one that's, zipping up Nami's dress. And he's, smiling, and, they're, looking at each other in the mirror. And they're just so sweet, and he just doesn't give, I feel like I could walk up to Usopp and not be afraid that he's going to hit on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like that the live-action one, I feel like, if I went up to him, he'd be like, "Hey, mama," and I'd be like, "No."
I think he does a good job, but I will agree, he's too pretty.
He's too pretty. I need him. I need him to be a little not as pretty.
But it's just hard. It's just hard in live action to find somebody that looks that goofy.
It is.
I'm gonna do homework for myself. I'm gonna find who I think Usopp should have been casted as.
Yeah.
Also, for that actor, I don't know your name, but don't be mad at me. What I'm telling you is that you're too hot to play Usopp.
I think you're doing a great job.
So I know Aokiji, we talked about him. Let's see. I only have two more, and it's just two groups. So sure. My group is all of the black characters from Castlevania Season 2.
Whoa.
Ooh.
I have not seen that season.
Dude, I haven't seen it at all.
It is.
Are they vampires?
Yeah. So Season 2, I mean, obviously Castlevania has to do with vampires. If you haven't seen Season 1, definitely go do that. It's awesome. Right.
Which season Belmont 2, is it?
Trevor? What? Trevor is in Season 1. And then I think it's Simon in Season 2. So Simon, in the original Castlevania, or the one with Trevor, the first episode, the first, season, uh-huh. it's in a specific part of Europe, in a more, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's more genuinely early medieval European type of time or whatever.
Transylvania.
You go to Simon and it is in not French Revolution, but close to that time period. So it's in France around that kind of Renaissance, I guess, era.
Okay.
And part of that is what they do for the world building is they also incorporate France's occupation of Haiti. And so a lot of the characters that are good and bad are of Haitian descent, I think.
Ooh.
And so they speak French Creole, and they have these certain they practice voodoo or witchcraft, but in not in a way where you would think it's You know how one thing I do hate is like that people talk about like voodoo is like this evil kind of situation. Not that I'm mad at like Princess and the Frog, because the main character does a little bit of voodoo magic, main like villain, whatever. Yeah. But like as some like the spirituality of certain cultures sometimes gets viewed as being demonic, which I feel is not fair.
Gets villainized. Yeah, I think of all the Chucky franchise.
Right. I feel like it's not fair. But like how they use magic in sorcery in the world of Castlevania, it's just that culture of people like frame it differently than like the white French like people would consider it in the world building, which I think is so cool. So like they had a bunch of like characters, like black characters with like magical powers. Like I can't remember the main girl's name, but she has like she has the power of like earth magic, where she can like form things out of the ground and materialize stuff in the air to create these cool like weapons and stuff. And then you have probably one of the hottest characters in fiction is Drolta. I need y'all to look her up right now. Look,
Captain, I'm looking. Drolta?
D-R... yeah, D-R... Mm-hmm.
Drolta?
D-R-O-L-T-A.
Oh, D-R-O-L-T-A.
Her boots are nuts.
Castlevania.
One of the finest characters in fiction. And I will stand by that.
Drolta Zwintis. Is the T silent, I'm guessing?
Oh, my Lord. Okay, I've seen people cosplay her, and I didn't know. Yeah. I thought they were just cosplaying like a succubus in general. Megan Thee Stallion, are we going to do... Are we... Megan, hello, Megan Thee Stallion to the stage. Are you please? Can you please cosplay her, please?
I love her hair. I love her hair.
Also, I love how everyone draws her with the hippiest dips. I'm going to lose my voice again. Yeah. Hell yeah. Honestly, Taylor, you don't even need to stand on business. Like, there is no business to be stood because the answer is correct.
Like, come on. She's gorgeous. Like, look at the material. Like, let's just be honest.
This is the source. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I just think they do such a good job of being represented well. And like, obviously, Castlevania takes a lot of historic liberties, historical fiction liberties with how they tell the story. So like they, I guess like they, just the way in which they tell the story of the French occupation of Haiti and like the, like slavery in that era and like what they decided to do, like it's historical fiction. I know people were up in arms about black people being vampires again because it's fucking society's insane, but they do such a good job of like not of like kind of like picking up on this like idea of slavery and the stuff that's come out of it, and it's not a situation where I'm just looking at like black trauma again repackaged. It's like, oh, this is just like a cool character that's was a part of this thing that's part of my demographics culture. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool way of telling that story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All the black characters from Castlevania season 2 are some of my favorite POC characters.
I love that.
Could be contentious, could also not be. But I'm gonna say it anyway. Fucking Okarun. Because that is a mixed boy. Because that is a mixed boy, and it's backed up by the fact that his English VA is a black man. AJ fucking Beckles. AJ Beckles, famous for Takemichi. He was Nagashima in Odd Taxi. He's a great voice actor. And
was he really?
And he's killing it as Okarun. Oh my God. He's so fucking good. And the fucking fade. They gotta fade it better in the show, but he's
they do have to. They just kept fade. It like they just kept it here. They didn't like taper him up on the side.
He's such a good fucking character. Kayla doesn't watch it in English, but his voice work when that bully is like, "Yo, you have sex with Momo?"
Yeah.
His fucking voice work in that is incredible. Where he goes from Okaroon to the fucking curse.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking God. I'm obsessed with the show and I'm obsessed with the voice actors. Everyone's doing great. And then personally, a joke between Taylor and I. Do you know who's voicing Gigi?
Mm-mm.
Alex Lee.
Really?
Get that, man. Someone has him locked up in a fucking studio. He needs a break.
No, for real. He voices so many people.
I love him to death, and he's awesome, and his voice, mm-hmm. he dubbed Kiryu in the Yakuza show, which I don't like watching dubbed live-action shows.
Yeah, I hate that.
Mm.
But his voice is Kiryu. He should be the voice in the games. He's so good.
He's a good job. Yeah, that's... if we want to be technical, like... Okaroon as a Japanese boy is a person of color. So
someone find out his hair texture. That's what I want to know. Because tell me the number and the letter.
Someone's 4C high key.
Thank you very much, Chad. Thank you so much. I'm glad you said it because I was like, that's looking.
There's a little 4C right there.
A little curl. I see it. I can mentally feel it. So I'm like, where you at? But that brings me to a great point because I have a few other people on my list. But as a cosplayer, I think something that I really wanted to talk about in this episode is that in the cosplay community, there are very good sides of it and there are very not so good sides. And on the very not so good side, it's the people who say that certain people cannot cosplay as certain characters because of weight and race, and those two things are simply untrue. So I'm looking at all of you. Anybody can cosplay anything, okay? And it's about your love for the character. You obviously, because it still happens today. It happened at the last con. It was all over TikTok. There were white people cosplaying black characters and literally doing blackface. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing in the year 2024? I thought y'all knew to not be this way. But those same people will get mad when a black person cosplays a white character. And that drives me crazy because there is something so beautiful about seeing characters interpreted into different cultures and races. And I've seen the hottest black people cosplay Gojo and do really cool things with their hair to like make it white, and I foam at the mouth. And black Nanamis, and obviously JJK characters are just hot in general, but like literally it brings me such joy to see people with their favorite characters like saying like, hey, this is for you, but it's also for me. So just let people be happy and let them cosplay what they want, because at the end of the day, we're all grown adults playing mm-hmm. dress up. We're all playing dress up. And you shouldn't bother anybody, which is why I wore my Megan Thee Stallion shirt today of her cosplaying a bunch of different anime characters, because I think she's she's the most gorgeous human being on the whole wide world planet. We could be friends, Megan. She does such a good job at taking characters and making them her own and just making them even hotter than I thought they could be. So, yeah, I'm going to get off my soapbox. But as a cosplayer, I get really sad when I see other people being like, well, you can't cosplay them because you're black, or you can't cosplay them because you're fat. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. My voice came back. Shut up.
Yeah, I must say, although the voice, I could hear it.
Yeah, it warmed up. Rah! It just annoys me. It makes me so mad.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. Like I follow a few cosplayers personally on like the Twitter accounts and TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that. And like, I love like their content, like scrolling the comments. I usually never scroll the comments because I'm just like, it's usually just a fucking cesspool in there. I mm-hmm. hate hate that. I usually just, I just look at the just the cosplay they make, and then I like I like it. I'll send it to Zoe, especially if it's my favorite cosplayer, Renee Goddess. I'm in love with that woman.
We're all gonna meet the loves of our lives, guys. Please, please,
at some point, please.
Yes. Please.
He called out Zoe called out Valkyrie on our podcast, like in episode 8. I gotta find a good way to like shout out Renee Goddess at one point. No, I'm playing.
She dressed up she dressed up as Starfire like a week ago.
Yeah. I follow her on TikTok.
Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah.
I do have one more like group of black / POC characters in fiction. If anybody else wants to go before we kind of wrap up.
I'll just like shout out my last ones and people can just be like, yeah. Cyborg and Bumblebee from Teen Titans, Susie Carmichael from Rugrats, Kida from Atlantis, Esmeralda from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and really sleeper character, only was in one episode ever, of the cartoon series from the 1990s of The Little Mermaid. There is a Hispanic mermaid whose name is Gabriella, and she's deaf, and she teaches Ariel how to sing in sign language, and she's really cool. I remember that was one of my very first representations of a Hispanic person in a typically white dominated media that meant something to me because I loved mermaids as a child. She's super cool, but yeah, all those people are super important, and to this day, if Cyborg was real,
Vic Stone's cool as fuck. Damn, I should have put Cyborg on my list. I know a lot about
him. He has the ability to have attachments.
Anyway.
Okay, he was in a hurry.
He's also really cool, and he's really sweet, and he's like the dad of the group. So I think he's a great person. Thank you so much.
That was great.
Thank you so much. I think he's cool and sweet and kind.
My honorable mentions, I guess. Just running him through them quick. David from Cyberpunk. From the first episode, you find out that they're Hispanic, and I was like, oh, interesting. Cool. I wasn't looking for that, but that's cool. And now I really want his jacket. I really want a Edge Runner jacket.
Yeah.
Miles Morales, of course. Miguel O'Hara. Miguel O'Hara.
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot Miguel O'Hara. Can you put in the music at that point of like the sound that comes out when he comes out?
Like the face.
I was gonna say, he's interesting because his suit, when he first gets his powers and he's trying to hide from something, he grabs a Dia de los Muertos mask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what his suit is like kind of based on.
That's hard.
I think that's just very interesting. They've changed it over the years, of course.
Yeah.
But that's like his whole thing.
A werewolf spider is literally a monster lover's dream. Dream, man. And also voiced by Oscar Isaac, who, when that man speaks Spanish...
I mean, there's cooler things about him, but yes, I like Oscar.
No, of course, he's an amazing actor. I think he is very funny.
No, I'm talking about Miguel O'Hara.
No, I'm talking about both. But yeah, wow. Yeah, Miguel O'Hara, I think, changed everything.
Yeah, you wouldn't shut up in the theater.
Oh, bro.
None
of us could shut up in the theater for that movie.
Thank you, Taylor.
For different reasons, but
here's the thing. Me and Taylor try to whisper at least.
Okay, and me and Emily had to bark at the screen so that everyone knew that he was great.
And here's the thing, because we're seeing Wicked next week, and if you're yelling in Wicked, I will rip your fingers off.
I'm not sitting near you. So when I'm quietly doing a few riffs to myself.
Exactly my point. So if you're not near me and I still hear you, I'm airing this bitch out.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm just gonna bring like some like what are they called? The wrestling gloves, whatever, boxing gloves. Yeah. I was told the other day at a party, someone was like, legitimately, do you think you could push Zoe 1 foot? And I was like, I'd need grippy socks inside of grippy shoes on a grippy floor. and then I have to get a running start. And then maybe I push him half a foot.
And then I said, if she gets a running start, I'm not letting it happen. So I'm flipping her over.
And I'm ending up in the hospital with a concussion.
Oh, my God.
My last honorable mention. Fuck. Chad from Bleach.
Yep.
Because
he's but I hate him.
Hard as fuck.
He's cool.
Dripped.
I get it.
To the socks. I get it. Every fucking arc, every color splash, every fucking cover.
Oh wait, no. I'm not thinking Chad. I'm thinking the other guy, the blind guy I hate. No, Chad I love.
He's hard as fuck.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Are you thinking good thing you brought up Chad, because my final thing to wrap it up is every black and POC character in Bleach.
Oh wow. Good segue.
Tozen, Yorichi, Mila Rose, Love Akawa.
Yeah.
Jackie, Chad, Zamari, Haribil, Ichibe. I'm throwing Ichibe in there too. Are you kidding me? I don't know if y'all have seen the new like seasons or whatever, but Ichibe is like one of like the top Soul Reapers, like or whatever, and he's like this bald guy with very black features.
Oh yes. He has the big necklace.
Paint he's mixed brush
for
too.
Sure. Yeah.
That is a black mixed man if I've ever seen one. Yeah, I just think that going back to my original point, right? If you're gonna put black characters or dark skinned characters in a story, like the way in which you depict them is very, 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 very essential. It's crucial. Taikubo does such a good job of having dark skinned characters in this in this world and making them very unique to either certain cultures or just unique in general to where like they don't look super stereotypical. Like, although I don't like Zamari's design as a Arrancar, I think is he Arrancar? I think his design is probably the worst of the of the Arrancars, to be honest, but he still is done in a unique way to where he's not looking like a super offensive.
Yeah.
I am in love with Yorichi. I think she's like one of my favorite just female characters ever.
Extremely hot.
Tozen, I love him because one, I think he's like, obviously he's a villain.
Yeah. Technically.
That's what you saw. Obviously he's a villain, but like his design was so cool. Like he has like the visor over his face, like LeVar Burton, the guy from Star Trek. I think that was really funny. Has the visor, and then like his Bankai, if you want to make it technical, is a big inspiration for domain expansions in Jujutsu Kaisen. So like his Bankai is a big ass like cube that you like nothing can get in or out. It's like a domain essentially.
Yeah.
And like that kind of design and like idea is kind of attributed to domain expansions in Jujutsu Kaisen.
Oh yeah.
The more we know.
Yeah. So I think like he does a phenomenal job. Him and Akubo specifically, but they do like a phenomenal job with just with like the representation and like the designs of dark skin characters. I think he does. He's like probably the best at it.
Yeah, he actually makes them look like black people that you would see every day.
Yeah.
And it's just good.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But yeah, that's honestly great episode, guys. I'm not even gonna say
This is so fun.
This is awesome.
Gave me life.
For sure. I know since Zoe talked about Chromacopia as a music recommendation last week, I kind of want to pour my thoughts into it. That album is phenomenal.
Oh my God. I haven't listened to it yet, but I will.
It is.
Can you feel that fire? It's so good.
I think before my parting thoughts on it is it's a more palatable Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. It is a very, very introspective and vulnerable album that I think is more palatable to a regular audience, because Kendrick Lamar's Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, while it is an amazing album, it's one of my favorites of the past couple years, that it deals with some very, very heavy topics that I don't think can sometimes be palatable and be able to be listened to on a regular basis. Chromacopia, on the other hand, I can listen to Hey Jane all the time. And that's about having a kid when you didn't really want to. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's about getting it's like a pregnancy scare, but the song is so hard. You're doing this the whole time. So like, you know, yeah, that's, I'll just say it's a more palatable version of Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. That's all I'll say. It's very, very, very good. Cool. All right, y'all got anything? Any parting words or no?
New Kyle album. It's very fun. Level one.
Very good. I did listen to it a little bit. Kayla, any parting words?
Well, music-wise, you guys know that I'm never listening to music that's out currently. I'm always going back to old music. So I'm currently re-listening to all the music from the band, The Story, so far. That has been what has been reviving me this week. And it's just like, sometimes you just forget how certain music makes you feel. And then when you hear one song, you're like, oh, I'm going to do a deep dive. And then you're like, why did I stop listening to them every day for 24 hours? But that's the ADHD going earworm, earworm, earworm until you get sick of it and then you stop. So I'm in that rotation again. But anything to say as parting words? No, this episode was so nice. It was so fun, and it's nice to not fight. We were all on the same page. We all agreed the whole time. It was just great. So, yeah. Awesome. So good to have a moderator again. Never leave us.
that's been everything for me. I've been Taylor, as aka Nostalgia, Astro by Zoe, KLX Everything. See you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.